Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shelley Roden. I work at Skywalker Sound in Northern California, and I work as a Foley artist, but I didn't start as a Foley artist. I started working as an intern in Los Angeles, and I slowly worked my way up to becoming a Foley artist who performs. I perform and create sound effects for movies and TV series and games.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we jump straight into some student questions that have
already been? No, come on, bring it.
All right, cool. And guys, you guys who are here live, go ahead and message them in the chat and I'll let you guys ask them. So one of our first questions that was messaged to me is, what inspired you to pursue a career as a Foley artist? Because I mean, were you growing up and that was what you wanted to do, or did something kind of pique your interest?
Okay, so no, I grew up in a working class family. So the idea of going to California and working in the film industry wasn't in my brain as a possibility at all. But my mom, who was a single mom, insisted that I go to college because she didn't get to go to college. And through that path, I decided to study film because I always was an artist and I drew cartoons. I made noises with vocally. And I just kind of listened to what people told me they thought I should do. And so I studied film, but really fell in love with filmmaking. And then through my college, I got the internship that I told you about and discovered that I really love sound because I grew up with music. My mom was in a barbershop quartet. If you don't know what that is, it's a four-part harmony a cappella group. So I have a musical background, and my ultimate goal was to just work and survive, honestly. So I did what I needed to do in Los Angeles to survive on $8 an hour. And then I did some Foley for student films. And that's how I got to learn how to do it, by doing it. Nobody taught me. I didn't have a mentor, but I did have somebody who watched me and said, you have a talent for this, so you should pursue it. So there's just that one person, you know, that you need in your life that might give you an idea of what you're good at or what you might think about looking into. And it's an interesting balance between going for what you think is right and going for what you need to do. So it's a long journey and can be tough, but just keep your eye on what you want and just work towards it. And hopefully things will open up, like opportunities will open up as they did for me. I was very fortunate.
That's great. And where did you go to film school?
I went to Ithaca College in Central New York State.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a far way from Hollywood.
It is. Yeah. But luckily they had an LA program. Mm-hmm. So they had a semester in Los Angeles.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through kind of like your creative process when you're designing a new sound from scratch? Like, how does it go from inception to production?
Totally. Has everyone seen that photograph of me with the car door and stuff? Okay, so now you have an idea of the room I work in. And the room is like a big sound studio that's soundproof. And I have a movie screen in front of me. I have microphones. And then someone behind soundproof glass is recording everything that I do. And my tools and my artist palette are everything from a car door to a wrench to a rubber latex mask to a blow up swan that you sit in a pool. I mean, it's just like random stuff that you see around your life, right? In different areas, like garage or on the street, there might be a wooden chair sitting there. Thrift stores. So just imagine a big playroom full of that stuff with different surfaces for floors as well, because we do footsteps and props and cloth movement. That's basically what we do, traditionally what we do as Foley artists. So To begin with, we have a sound supervisor who meets with the director of a project and discusses the aesthetics and the needs for their project. And then that sound supervisor will talk to us and relay that information, us meaning the three of us on the Foley stage. It's a team of three, two Foley artists and a Foley mixer. And then from there, we'll get a list of things to do. They're called cues, like music cues. I think of them as music cues. So it'll say on the Pro Tools system that we work on, it'll say, you know, do it from here to here, walk this person, from here to here, walk this person. And person, meaning it could be anyone wearing high heels or leather-soled shoes or boots like Thor, or I could be like an animal. I could be walking an animal. So we do all footsteps first. And then we move on to do props, which could be anything you can possibly imagine. So it's things that humans handle with their hands or animals handle with their bodies or mouths. And anything that our bodies come in contact with, like chairs or desks, hands on desks, practical things like that. But also in Foley, which doesn't get talked about very often, is there is a line. A very thin line between music and Foley and sound design and Foley. So I think of Foley as musical notes and orchestration. And we don't exist on our own. It's not like, oh, look at me, look at my, you know, listen to my Foley. We have to blend in with all this other stuff. We're just a part of the orchestra. So we have to think about how will I blend in as a background singer or a lead singer or whatever is going to be featured. With music and dialogue, which is really important in telling a story, and sound effects. So we think of all these things, and the process of discovering each cue is also different. I could go into that as well, but I don't want to be blabbing the whole time. You
No,
guys talk.
you're great. It's like listening to John Williams
Sure.
composing these unusual sounds. We have a question from France. This is Lolly. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, I wanted to know what is the theme you preferred making sounds for?
I love making sounds for animated films because it's an open palette. There's no production sound that we have to match. So it is all about what do you imagine hearing here? And then I get to create that from scratch. Whereas if I work on a live action film, such as David Fincher's The Killer, or Mank, I'll listen to what is recorded on set and then try to match that. The best I can, which is a whole other skill, right? But I just love the energy of animation and the expansive palette. I'm not tied to anything except for what I imagine it to sound like.
Can you share
Cool.
a moment from your career where a sound you created completely transformed the scene of a movie or a show?
Okay, cool. Yeah, a really important one, I think, right now, of course, is in Andor, where in season one, the townspeople are alerting everyone that the police are coming. And so they're banging on different elements that look like wind chimes hanging from their buildings. And you see a shot of somebody hitting like this metal sculpture, like da-din, da-din, da-din. And then it cuts to somebody else alerting another person because they hear that and they pass this like telephone signal along in the community to alert everyone that the police are coming. So that was awesome to create because what I was asked to create was just different tonal sounds that are metallic because most of the things they're hitting are metallic. So I got to think of it as musical notes. Like I would look at the shot of the wind chimey thing hanging and say, okay, that looks like it could be aluminum. And it's like bars that are long. So I need to sell that sound. But what it sounds like is up to me. So I think like two notes, like do, 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 because I see the way they're moving their tool as they're hitting it. And so that was just so much fun to create all those elements. And then the music department took that and cut it so that it would become like a musical thing, which turned into something really neat.
That's cool. And do you collaborate a lot with musical directors and film directors and cinematographers?
So, like I said, the sound supervisor is the liaison between all these people. However, whenever I work directly with a film director, it's such a rich experience because I get what they want immediately. They communicate to me what they want. And ideally, I would love to work with the music department because right now in Hollywood, there's a lot of sound that is created in music and in sound design. So why not work together to form one soundtrack? I mean, it makes sense to me. So I would love to do that more often. And I'm starting to work with independent directors that do that and are open to the idea. Because in that way, I can work with the composer and say, okay, I can make you a really strange sounding instrument that's like a whale that sounds like metal. Do you want that? And so it opens up the world of Foley, so that we are more than just practical sounds.
So you probably have a working knowledge of like music history as far as newer instruments like Moog or like all these different like Technicolor kind of new age kind of instruments. That's got to be fascinating. That goes like the next question a student sent me. How has technology changed your industry over the years, and where do you see it going? Do you think there's going to be a meshing of soundtracks with the sound effects department?
Sure. So for me, my experience was I worked on film stock and MAG when I first started back in the 90s. And then I saw the transition to digital. And that was not too impactful to the Foley team. All we had to do is work faster because there's the assumption that because you're on a computer, you can actually work faster. But that's not true. So how it's impacted the film industry is they, meaning they in charge of the money, decide how much money they want to put towards each thing. Like, do I want this much towards production, this much towards post-production? And budgets are shrinking and shrinking. So, how do we deal with that? Well, luckily, at Skywalker, we work on top-tier films and we have not felt, or I should say, well, I should speak from my own perspective. I have not felt too much of a change because of the caliber of films we are working on. I know that my friends who are working on streaming shows and lower budget films, it's definitely impacting them. And there's all the talk about new technologies, but I have yet to see anything come that's promising. So as long as people value sounds created by humans and the human touch, I don't see there being an issue.
You've worked on an array of you've worked in over 250 projects throughout your career, anywhere from Jurassic World to Inside Out 2. Do you approach these kind of projects that are starkly different? Do you approach them differently when it comes to
Totally.
making sounds?
Oh, yeah, totally. Imagine the Jurassic World palette, which is water, mud, dinosaur claws, backpacks, and then the Inside Out 2 palette, which is pristine, nebulous surfaces that you don't know what they're made out of, like kind of hamster type tubes that people crawl in, and emotions. Like the characters are emotions. So, how do you walk? Anger, right? So pick an angry shoe that sounds angry. What does that mean? Maybe dark sounding and walk it firmly. And then how do you walk sadness? Okay, slippers. It sound kind of sad. So shuffling, you can create that feeling. So the method of recording and setting up the cues is the same, but the ideas behind the sounds and the textures, the supporting layer that Foley creates is completely different for those two films.
Oh, cool. Would you say that your background in athletics, music, and theater have all come together to influence your career and how you approach it?
100%. Yeah. If I couldn't move as fast as the animated characters, then I'd be in trouble.
That's such a great way of putting it. We had a student, he just messaged. You said that you made how to make animal sounds. How do you record animal sounds? Do you actually go
Okay.
to the animals or bring them to you?
What I meant by that is sound designers record animal vocals, but they rely on us to create the sounds of their footsteps or fur movement. So if you imagine an animated creature, let's see what is recent that I can talk about. I've worked on some features I can't quite talk about yet,
No, talk
but
about the deep tracks. Go ahead. Older
deep
ones.
tracks. Yeah, I don't have my resume up right now, so I'm trying to think of creatures that I've created. But just like, okay, for example, the cat in Soul, right? So the cat in Soul needs some footsteps to ground the cat to the surfaces because the cat goes from cement to the hospital bed to holding in someone's arms. So you want to hear the weight and the feeling, the character of the cat. So we put on gloves and just walk animals with our feet. And we can do anything from cats to wolves to bears, because it's been years of experimentation and listening back, which has informed us on how to approach those things. So that's what I mean by animal sounds. There is one particular thing, though, in Black Panther that I had to do, which was when the rhinoceros runs up to Okoye and she feels like, oh, here it comes. It's gonna, or the audience thinks, here comes the rhino. It's gonna hurt Okoye. It stops and then it licks her face. So I had to do a lick sound. And so, how do I make that sound? Well, I thought of what do I want to hear? Okay, a texture of a tongue. So I thought maybe a cat tongue would be interesting. So I took a chamois, which is a cloth made of lambskin, and I wet it a little bit, and then I brushed it against cement for the texture surface. And then I probably layered it with another wetter element. So
That's
those are the animal
fascinating.
things that we do.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you ever catch yourself ever going to like a movie or watching a TV show that you didn't do, and you kind of like do you find yourself working while you're watching other people's stuff?
No, unless it really stands out, because I like to get absorbed in a story and I love storytelling. That is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's fascinating. And for our final question, because I know it's getting kind of late for some of our kids in Eastern Europe, I asked this of all the guests, is there any advice that you could give to these kids as they go on to the next chapters in their lives and kind of figure out what they want to do, whether they want to go into entertainment or do something completely different?
Cool. Okay. So my advice would be to find something that you want to wake up every day and do. I am 50 years old now, and you'll be doing it for a long time. It doesn't feel that way right now, but it is a long time. So I'm so glad that I found something that I want to get up in the morning and do, meaning I'd like to work with people. My work is very collaborative. And be creative, hands-on, because I grab tools and I create things with my hands and performance. Like, I'm so fortunate I can do these things. And so, my advice to you would be in your paths, wherever you are, if you travel, if you are from home reading books, if you go to university, just find the things that really interest you that you can't live without. Because life has to have meaning, and you can have meaning in your work if you care about it. So find something you care about and that you love, and do that no matter what. Like, hold true to your own vision of what that is.
Beautiful advice. Beautiful advice. Thank you again for taking the time to speak to us today. And before I end the meeting for all, traditionally, I allow all the kids to say thank you to our guests. Can we all say thank you to Shelly for taking the time out of her day to come talk to you guys about her career? Thank you so much,
Thank
Shelly.
you.
We can't thank you enough.
Thank
Thank you.
you. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so
Thank you.
much.
Thank
And
you.
I wish you all
Congratulations.
luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you.